Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith and action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Kaimi Baptist Church and our local community. There'll be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
Tonight, we have Lincoln with us. G'day, mate.
G'day.
How you going? And my beautiful wife, Brianna, the host, one of the hostess with the mostest.
Hello. So amazing to be here tonight.
Yeah, great to have Lincoln with us. And could you tell us a little bit about yourself, Lincoln?
Sure. I am a father.
Nice.
And I've been attending Gaimere for it's almost 10 years now, which is, every time I say that, it's a weird, it's a whole thing anyway.
Long service.
Long service leave. Look for me to leave in 3 months.
Three months leave coming up.
We might have a trip actually coming
sabbatical.
Up. For sure. I'm a dad. I have a lovely wife, Tyron, and I have 3 kids. They are Sydney, who's 8, Darcy, who's 6, and Clay, who's 3.
Nice.
I don't know. What else about me? I work in advertising.
There you go.
Used to be a graphic designer, but now I'm just a middle management, it feels like, sometimes.
Has your hat come from the advertising?
No, my hat is actually, so this has actually got a whole other story. I'm not sure if you have time for that story, but anyway.
He's wearing a Janelli Living the Dream hat, guys, just so you know what it is.
I mean, that's a true slogan. I literally, when we moved to Janelli, I'm a big fan of Janelli where I live. Mm-hmm. And it was, I saw this sticker on cars. I'm like, where did this sticker come from? And it's set in like Comic Sans or like the worst font in the world. It's such a bad font. And the design is, it's not bad. It's like deliciously bad.
Yeah. Classic trucker hat. Yeah. Janelli Living the Dream. Yeah.
And I'm like, and you know, Janelli's like the most normal suburb in the world. Like, it's not anyone's idea of a dream, but I actually really do think it's great. And so I saw these things around on cars driving around. I just like wanted to, I'm like, I have to get myself a Janelli the Dream sticker.
Yeah.
And Taz's like, well, I don't know. I'm trying to Google it. And then a friend asked me one time about this. I got on it somehow. I'm like, I'm going to actually sit down and Google it today. And literally, I Googled it, and 1 minute later, I found someone on a Facebook group. It's like, oh, Janelli Living the Dreams stickers Facebook group. I'm like, cool. Turns out they have trucker caps. I messaged them and I'm like, hey, I want to get, how much is your stickers? What can I get? And they're like, oh, hi, it's Lyndall. I'm Darcy's, I had your beautiful son Darcy in preschool last year.
Oh, what?
And literally, like, I could throw a stone to where my kids, where Darcy's preschool is. And like, oh, I'll send some home with your brother-in-law. So literally by the next day, I've been dreaming about these stickers and stuff for like.
You were all kitted out.
Yeah, and she gave me a free hat. And I'm like,
that's so kind.
Anywho,
represent.
I like the suburb where I live.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It gets called a J-hole, and I quite like that affectionately.
Janelli's lovely. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's leafy. Yeah. Great community.
Close to Como.
Yeah, they have like a group of dudes close to Como. Yeah. Como gets all the kudos. And I do like Como, don't get me wrong. But there's always like a dude that sits in a whole bag of fruit drinking a bottle of Coke by the zebra crossing all the time. Mm-hmm. And he's got a red tie on. I mean, you don't get that in other places. It's still got a high street. It's got a high street feel anyway.
Yeah. Something I'm special about it, right?
Move to Janelli. Still got a decent price point, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like the others. Anyway, it knows itself, Janelli, I think.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's just something that people might not know about you. Maybe that was the trucker hat story.
Oh. Trucker hat story?
Okay. Or is there something else?
The next question coming.
I'm keen to know a little bit more actually about, so you said you've been at Kaimi Baptist Church for 10 years.
Yeah, almost 10 years.
Where were you before that?
Directly before, we were in London.
Amazing.
We were living in London. We were going to a church, Christchurch Mayfair, in Mayfair. I think it was a Church of England, which is kind of their version of an Anglican church.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd always grown up in a Baptist church. My father's actually a Baptist minister.
Is he? Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, I mean, Grice, if you in Baptist circles, you might know my dad. He goes to all the churches and he no longer worked for the Baptist Union, but he did for many, many years. But he was a senior pastor at Menobaps, which is the church that started Innerborough High School.
Okay.
So that was my whole childhood. So then we went to London for a couple of years before the kids came along and before we kind of bored in the J-hole. yeah, so then, you know, when we came back from London, it was like, yeah, maybe we felt like we needed to just kind of move and find our own space and find a family church for us. And,
yeah, cool.
And now it's been 10 years. I always said I'd have a midlife crisis when I'd been home from London for 10 years. It's so defining in our lives. But
yeah. It was like only yesterday, right?
Like last month.
And you got a trucker hat, people.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I started wearing trucker hats. So, yeah, I haven't quite broken down just yet.
Yeah, not yet.
It's all right.
And what else did you get up to over in London?
Yeah, what else? Oh, man, we went over there just to – we got married fairly young. I mean, in Christian circles, we got married at 23. That's not young in Christian circles. Mm. But in the big, bright, wide world, that's like two little fresh babies going out into the world. So we decided we'd get married and then travel the world.
Amazing. Cool. Cool.
Yeah, so we did London. I fully expected to just, I don't know, be handing out leaflets or like selling, I don't know, pub tours or something. I don't know, something really – I don't know what I –
The backpack is special.
I was a graphic designer and I was like, oh, I didn't think I had any talent or anything. I was just like, oh, I'm just some guy that just works in a graphic design place in Sydney. And end up snagging a really great freelance gig at a TV channel over there.
Oh, sweet.
And then I was kind of permalanced for 2 years straight. So it was like I got along really well with the traffic manager. This is really boring stuff anyway. and then he just kind of let me stay if I wanted to stay. But when we went to travel, we traveled. And so I kind of – we worked out of the 2 and a bit years we spent there, we traveled probably a week out of every month.
That's
so
fantastic.
Really great. We roomed with our best mates over there and yeah, it was a really lovely experience, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. And what were some of the highlights of the travels?
Too many. We did my brother-in-law was living in Copenhagen at the time and his girlfriend's family had a holiday house in Sweden. So 2 Christmases we were there. We had like a Christmas on a Swedish lake
or
cabin.
Wow.
Kind of hot saunas, cutting a hole into the lake and jumping in ice bath cold, like those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing moose tracks. Didn't see a moose, but moose tracks. You know, so there were some really nice Christmases. And then
we went to
Reykjavik, Iceland 1 year for New Year's Eve. That was crazy.
Now remind me, Iceland, is that the one that's green or is it Greenland's the one that's ice? Which way is that again?
Yeah. It was icy when I was there. But
winter.
I think traditionally Greenland's colder again.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Iceland was just covered in like the first night, like 6 foot of snow. Like the cars were just like mild lumps.
And
that 3 hour, 4 hours of sunlight kind of thing.
It was
really special. Yeah.
Amazing.
Would've been great.
Saw the Northern Lights and stuff.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Really special. Yeah. Mm. You can travel around for those and never find them. So it's kind of like, I heard it's like searching for a wave. You know where the swell is going to be, but you don't necessarily find the best wave every time.
Mm.
So you go chasing the Northern Lights.
Amazing.
So that was very special, yeah.
And was it green or was it all different colours?
That was all snow all the time when we were there, big drops of snow. And there's like, you know, there's a very famous waterfall you go to one day and it's ginormous. It's like, I don't know how many stories high, but just these like ice chunks the size of cars kind of tipping over every minute.
Oh, my
just
gosh.
Like super powerful stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was just a moonscape.
Showing like God's magnificence.
Absolutely, yeah. It was really magnificent.
Yeah.
It truly was. But it felt like being on the moon. That was kind of cool.
Wow. Yeah,
it would.
God's creation is so diverse, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Really epic. Really epically beautiful.
Amazing.
And all the hot springs and stuff. It was just, yeah.
Oh, yeah, hot springs.
It was lovely.
And what a great adventure and start to marriage too. You know, some people do sort of wait or have different plans or think once you're married you've got to settle down straight away. But, you know, marriage is an adventure right from the get-go, isn't it?
I think it's really stood us in our marriage quite well. We've done all our formative things together. We got together at 19, 20. My second year out of school, Taryn's first year out of school. And so we've done a lot of adventuring together. So we've got all these shared experiences and we've just had a lot of fun together.
Yeah,
we're just good mates, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's good to have that start and going through.
Yeah, really.
Good foundation.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, firm foundation both in Christ and in our shared
life story and experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent.
Yeah, we've been – feel really, really blessed with all that, with the way that kind of that's – you know, when you look back on these things, you go, oh, was it blessed? Was it good choices? And it's all those things combined probably. But,
yeah,
you know.
See where God's been at work.
Yeah, 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 fully afterwards,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You learn throughout your life that you don't see God's hand work instantly ever. I haven't. No, but no. Actually, the story I wanted to talk about tonight that you were asking about is very short time frame with God answering Okay. Prayer, but like kind of, you know, acting in your life or
moving
in your life. But generally it's like
normally it takes
you commit
time.
To it and it's only months after you've committed to it and stopped committing to it that it kind of
God's go, like, oh, man, you've been waiting on this for a while.
All that work they wanted you to do, you did, and I hadn't even noticed. I'd moved on in my life, but you knew what I needed.
Yeah.
And you did it.
Yeah.
And you were faithful, but I was the one that wasn't faithful. I forgot about my needs that were so pressing that I forgot to ask after a while. You'd already started working in me, you know, anyway. Yeah. That's been so my experience in my faith. It's a long-term kind of slow burn thing.
Yeah, cool. But,
yeah.
So what's something people may not know about you?
There's nothing you don't know about me. If you met me, you know everything about me.
Open book.
He's an open book. He's an open book, people.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice way of putting it. I'm just a terrible oversharer. Like, that's a really politically correct way of saying it. Yeah. I just talk too much and Taryn's like, it just didn't need to be said. You didn't need to say it. Like, and I'm like, yeah. I'm the kind of person that lies in bed at night and just replays all the terrible conversations I have that no one is going to remember except for me.
Yeah, just like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, oops. Oh, yeah. Why'd I go there?
Such a guilty conscience. That's just me. So I don't know. Like, I'm generally like motor mouth, machine gun talk. You get everything straight away. And it's like, yeah, you meet me and he's like, you get all of me. And that's kind of a bit much for some people. They're kind of like, oh, okay.
Wasn't there a competition where you ate a whole lot of something and you won that or something?
Yeah,
I heard
like
that recently.
Yeah, the nugget challenge.
That's right, the nugget challenge.
Yeah, that was at work.
In chicken nuggets?
Yeah,
chicken
nuggets. McDonald's chicken nuggets.
McDonald's?
I mean, no, delete name. Large corporation with golden logo corporation.
Maybe or may not be Arches.
Maybe some sweet and sour sauce.
Well, that was a contentious part of the challenge, actually.
Okay.
No, so it was just... What were we sitting around at work? Well, I was like young enough that we didn't have a lot of work on at the time. We're just sitting around having a stupid conversation and I work in advertising, so, you know, hashtag creativity
or
something. But someone was like, I don't reckon anyone could eat more nuggets than me. And this guy was a skinny little fella. I'm like, mate, I'll smash you. I would kill you.
I got this.
And then he in advertising, you work in a creative partnership, so you have a writer and an art director. Mm. I'm a designer, so I work solo, but so this guy, his name was Ryan. If he ever listens to it, I'm sure he'll never listen to the podcast, but he may.
You never know.
I might send it his way.
We'll have to hashtag chicken nugget challenge. You never know.
So like his partner was kind of this big ex almost AFL alpha man. Like, righto, it's on. Like it's competition was like what drives him.
So he
the next morning I got in and then posters had been made and stuck up
around
the office.
Oh my goodness.
And it was like, his name was, it was like Ryan Famished Fitzgerald, and it's like it was his boxer's name, and he had like someone had made him Photoshop him really, really skinny.
Big.
My Instagram name is Big Links, but I didn't have that at the time. It was something, I can't remember what my name was, but they photoshopped me to be like a sumo. So like a sumo versus this tiny thing. It was like, and it was like the nugget off. And so like,
oh wow.
Anyway, we went down to
the Golden Arches?
Yeah, kind of. So we went down to like Harbourside in Pyrmont and I just went down with a few kind of mates and we thought it was a laugh. But I got down there and someone who was so into it, like organising this kind of stuff, had made like foldable cards, like one nugget, two nuggets. They'd spiral bound like a triangular kind of tent cards for both of us. So every nugget we ate, they turned the card.
I was there
just like whatever. And then my mate came down with like an entourage and they'd like put a boxer's kind of like a dressing gown with a hood over him. And like, and by the end of it, we had 80 people from the agency there. And then there were so many people that the whole food court was watching.
I was going to say, like, everyone would be like, what's going on?
It was a nugget challenge.
You get a full crowd.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And I remember, like, we were launched into it. And my friend was like right ahead of me. I'm like, no, I'm just not giving up. It was just like a throwing the nugget kind of when you're done. There was no time frame. Or maybe it was half an hour or something. I remember getting about 40 nuggets in.
That's not bad.
40
That's
nuggets right. in. And I was just sitting nuggets. In my hand and all my blood rushed from my face to digest these concrete nugs. And that was like, and I remember looking at my mate, at Ryan, and we were just ashen grey, like no blood in our faces and just churning.
Did you have major chicken meat sweats?
It was crazy. And I just remember looking up a guy that was on the balcony up in the atrium cleaning the windows, just like chewing in my mouth, just this mastication. It was so weird. I just didn't give up. But I had sweet and sour sauce and like little sips of Coke, and he just went dry, just went straight.
Oh, man.
And so in the end, I beat him by 2.5 nuggets.
Hey, oh, no. See, the sauce counted.
Sauce counted. A little bit of lubrication with the
yeah, a little bit of lubrication
with the cola.
That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
So since then, what's the closest you've come to
nuggets eating?
Yeah,
oh, I don't know. Like,
are you just like a normal six pack kind of guy?
And those family boxes, you get 20 boxes, you get 20 nuggets for free, and like, well, it'd be rude not to. So
before you know it, you've had 20 nuggets.
Yeah, exactly right. In the end, I ate 63, which was kind
of that's good.
Which, it felt a pretty good sesh. But
so he got 61 and a half or something.
60 yeah, and 61, half. And then he chucked in the nugget. I've got this great footage, which is this grey face just throwing the nugget in, and I had one more just to rub it in. I don't know why. I'm just
going to have one more.
Just one more, just to make you know I have beaten you. I'm not competitive at all. But
no, not really, no.
I love that.
Anyway.
Makes me want to look up Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah, it'd most, be 100%
most nugs smashed.
Yeah, yeah.
This is so funny, right? So we have a question. Is there a movie you've seen recently? Not Super Size Me, is it? Mate,
when you saw that, you're like,
yeah.
I just want to eat McDonald's so bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you come out and I'm salivating and you're like, it was bad, but I'm like, I just knew that. And I don't eat McDonald's like that. I want to eat it now, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was probably sponsored by them.
Yeah, it was. You know what I mean? Probably.
It's advertising.
Yeah, everyone knows. If you're eating it, they don't care. You
know what I mean? Yeah. Just that, like, whatever. They don't mind what's happening to you.
I make my own decisions. Anyway.
I love that. All right. Is there
a question. But
we have a chicken nugget champion here with us, people. We are in the presence.
Yeah, I feel like I should throw out. And if anyone wants to challenge me, we could have another round.
Oh,
another nug off.
A GBC nug off, maybe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. It's official, people. Set.
You
all
can right. tell I've like I'm craving youth leadership again. I haven't done it 20 years.
He's making a comeback.
All right. It's official. Anyone listening in, the challenge has been laid down.
Yeah, come on. Okay.
Yeah.
Did that. I mean,
okay.
Need some excitement in life.
Yeah.
Three kids makes everything a bit calm.
All right. It's on.
So circling back around, I know we mentioned movies, mm-hmm. but has there been a particular movie that's perhaps influenced you in your faith journey?
Oh, a movie in my faith journey. I mean, not off the top of my head. I have a weird thing where I'm actually quite like, Taz and I are very kind of generally happy people. So I don't really watch comedy. I watch quite dark, heavy thriller shows.
Aye.
And so it's true. Everyone's like, but you're always so like happy and like goofy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I watch quite serious movies.
So that's your counter.
Yeah, it's thing. Kind of so my counterbalance to whatever. I don't know. Like, I remember watching Passion of the Christ and being quite like, wow, that was, I mean, insanely violent and bloodthirsty and powerful. I remember that being something that was like, wow, it didn't make me question my faith, but it just made you go, oh, what's that? That's what it was like. I don't know. I remember that being quite confronting.
Yeah, I remember watching that too and thinking, you know, even if that was just a glimpse of what Jesus went through for 100%. Us, the sacrifice and the pain and anguish of his flesh and
really, really heavy stuff. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting question. No, I don't. Nothing springs to mind straight away. Sorry about that.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Okay, so when did you become a Christian?
When did I become a Christian?
Or lifelong, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting towards 40, so like it was like early teenagehood. So that's kind of feels like most of my life.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, kind of grew up in a Christian family. My dad's a minister. That was always kind of the thing that felt like it was going to happen. But yeah, I mean, I had those moments in probably around year five or year six, year seven, kind of when you realize we had a street full of kids and there was like two families of four boys and it was like, it was bedlam and it was like all the kind of camaraderie and bullying that goes with all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, you know, I had that sense of like being my Christian self on a Sunday at Sunday school and whatever, and then just kind of being another person on the weekends.
Yeah.
And there was a time when that had to kind of come a reckoning, I suppose. Like, you know, like we had to go, okay, is this your faith or are you going to stand up for it?
So I
have quite powerful experiences with music and I really encounter the Holy Spirit with worship music 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really like easily and profoundly I'll be feel the Spirit move in worship and music. Anyway, so it was like we had like a family, a guy called Doug McFarlane. Maybe I'm remembering that incorrectly now. Maybe I'm second guessing myself. He was like a Christian musician and we used to listen to him in the car on tape when we were on long drives. And he was like kind of like a, when you're a 12-year-old as cool as Christian musicians get. Yeah. And he was kind of rocky or whatever. And he came to Menai Baps when I was 12.
Oh,
like an evening service. And I saw him. It was like my whole kind of everything clicked in. It was like it was a challenge. And I just remember weeping and just like the Holy Spirit overcome and just in tears. And then I ended up, there was a call to prayer afterwards to become a Christian. And I actually became a Christian with my dad, which was really
cool. Oh, that's cool.
It was epic, yeah. It was weird. I remember at the time randomly thinking, oh, this is weird to do with your dad because he's a senior pastor of the church.
Mm.
And it's like, not that we didn't have that kind of relationship. I share everything with my dad. We hadn't had that relationship because I wasn't old enough to probably. I was 12 or 13. Mm. I can't really remember now.
Yeah.
And I prayed the prayer with my dad and it was like crying. But then, I was crying in the service and then you come out into like the church office to have a prayer time in the quiet spot and you're like, you sober up, you're like, cool, now I have to answer some questions and how do I really feel? My dad and it was, I remember knowing that it was happening and like going, okay, you got to do something, you got to choose if you're for me or you just kind of in the family or, if it's just a family
thing. Yeah, you're just sort of following the practices of what you've grown up with or whatever.
Yeah, and so he definitely chose me and that was it really.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. And when you say answering some questions, because if somebody's not experienced that themselves, what does that mean? Like you said, you were weeping and crying, and answering questions. Was that more sort of spending time with God and thinking through questions with God,
Literally like straight after? If you'd made a commitment tonight, come and let's talk through a little bit what the next kind of step. So it was kind of like how are you feeling? Is this something you want to do? Like those kind of things. It was like just that the sheer shift from being emotional and in the worship spirit moving space into like a conversation going, okay, this is how I feel still. And those kind of questions I think is more kind of what I meant.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's just like praying the prayer and in the silence of a space when you come out of the big emotional kind of reaction and you're crying. It's just like a crying that you can't stop.
Yeah, just because you're so moved.
Yeah, it was the only thing. And even to this day, I can feel that feeling. If it's a big thing to say you feel the Spirit moving. I think you can't say that willy-nilly, but I feel like it's a Spirit, me connecting with the Holy Spirit in my personal space. And I can feel it. And it always comes in a form of just welling up tears at the back of my eyes.
Yeah.
And I can remember that same thing. It was just uncontrollable then. Now I'm probably sad that I can control it now, you know what I mean? Sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
But if you're singing in a higher octave as a man, it's like you can't sing and not cry if it's that high, you know what I mean? There's been some times throughout life where it's been, you're just having a moment with God and it kind of bubbles up in that way. But I feel like I can very much feel the Spirit move, especially often in the music in times.
Yeah,
but,
nice.
Yeah.
And so do you – like perform or are you part of worship
somewhere? Well, I've yelled from the, no one should put a microphone on me on the drums, but, we've been on the team together.
It was fantastic.
We had this great thing at Menai Baptist Church when I learned to play music through church. So I play the saxophone, super cool, I know.
That is a super cool instrument.
That is cool.
It's like any kind of instrument like that, everyone's like, oh, saxophone. But it's a cool instrument.
It is. I mean, I just never learned to do it properly. And then I started playing drums just while I was waiting for band practices to start for the saxophone.
Mm.
And so we had this thing called jam session. It was like 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. So music practice starts at 5 for church, but then anyone could come. Old, young, anyone that wanted to play music would come and play. You could just play along with whatever songs were in that night. So I would just go along, and then there was an older dude from church that would be the drummer in the evening service. And he's like, "Oh, you jump off a little bit." So I learned how to play drums.
Oh, nice!
At church, that was my tutoring. Cool. I never had a lesson; just like learnt by. And then if you get good enough at practicing, then you go, "Oh, try and do one song at." That song you're doing well, so then we jumped on. So it's kind of like feels very natural for me to be on stage because I've been doing it since 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned. So like I'm my best drummer when I'm drumming church songs.
And feeling it.
Yeah, just feeling it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, nice.
Do you play any other instruments?
Nah, I've lost my embouchure for the saxophone. I don't think I could blow a note anymore. Yeah. I could still do my year 12 music performances, I reckon, by memory. I played them so many times. I couldn't tell you what notes I was playing. I couldn't even blow the sound, but I could do the fingering of it. You know what I mean? I wish I could sing more. I can hold a note between about, I got one octave of range in my singing. Yeah. Outside of that, it's horrible.
We've all got different gifts though.
Yes, that's right.
And you are a very good drummer.
Well, I get by.
No, you are good, man. You're a great drummer.
I enjoy it. I very much enjoy it.
Yeah. So we know you drum.
Yes.
At church. Do you serve anywhere else at GBC or in the community?
Yes. I had to cancel one tonight, actually. No, I didn't have to cancel. I was formerly on the CLT. And then we really wanted to start. The church really wanted to start some young adult life groups. It was really important, and I'm kind of I'll say yes to everything. But my wife was like, "You can't do CLT and lead a life group and do music and whatever.
Why not?
That's right. And work in the city. Yeah, yeah.
Little bit of balance.
She has much better boundaries than I do. hi Tess, love you.
That's a healthy thing, right?
Help raise three kids.
Exactly right. Yeah, yeah. She's doing the raising.
It's good when you can do that sense check with each other.
Which is good. I mean, I was like, I think maybe I slightly enjoy more like the ground level activity of doing ministry. I like on the kit, so to speak.
Sure.
CLT was really, really interesting and really great. I love being involved. I really did.
And just what is CLT? What does that
stand for?
Church
Leadership Team. Like in a smaller church, it would be called a diaconate, I suppose. I had to ask when I started. It's like, how is that different to a diaconate? Well, we don't have a diaconate because we're slightly bigger than that. It's a strategic kind of thinking and risk discussions and planning and kind of verifying and finance stuff. I had to take minutes, which stressed me out. I'm not very good at taking minutes, but that's all right. They helped me.
Sounds interesting though. How would you go about approaching being part of CLT?
They're always looking for people that are willing and able and ready. I think Mark approached me when, you know, they're trying to have six or seven from memory. That was a couple of years ago now, 18 months ago. Six or seven kind of people on there. I think it's really good. They tend to have, you know, all walks of life, you know, people that kind of loosely represent the kind of the congregation here at Gaimere.
So people of all ages, stages.
Yeah, all that, you know, like young families or kind of more retired or, you know, whatever, or younger.
Youth.
It was, not teenagers, youth on it, but, people that are involved with young adults and stuff like that. So I kind of shifted out of that. I felt very bad actually because like a couple of people kind of finished up their tenure at the same time and I was like, I don't need one tenure. And like, I feel like 2 years felt like, you know, you wanted to, it wasn't quite long enough. I felt like I pulled out a bit early, but that's all right. I picked up a young adult life group on a Wednesday.
Fantastic.
Really awesome. That's with lovely Kat and Conan O'Connor.
Oh, nice.
And the Bakers. Jess and Jacob Baker.
Yeah, good.
Who, you know, Jess is usually doing this and doing the big three stuff.
Yeah.
Missing her, love you, Jess. Representing. Both of them had just lovely little babies. You know, it was supposed to be a young adults group, but really there was like young marrieds. we got the really easy group. They're kind of basically just our friends and their mates, which is beautiful. We love every moment we have with them. We have really lovely, warm Wednesday nights discussion, and we can kind of talk about now. I'm sure we'll be a lot more kind of young parenthood or babies or whatever. So that's been going 18 months now. So we did that on Wednesday night.
That's so nice.
I'm in a life group myself on a Tuesday night that I've been on since we started at Gaimere.
Excellent.
When we started, we had a kind of, I don't even know how, maybe three or four kind of couple friends that had just somehow in between churches or whatever came at the same time. We didn't plan to.
Okay.
And they were kind of friends of friends or people we kind of were friends with or whatever, you know, like people we'd known for years but never gone to church together. So we just kind of started a group with wives on 1 week, husbands on the next week.
And nice.
So that's something. So, when they're all on, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Sunday. Nice. And it's one of those kind of 4 weeks.
But that's so good. And it's great. It's great to have people to walk really closely with, the people you know, if,
100%.
If you need to talk through something or people to pray with. Or
It's been one of those groups that's we started as kind of like we all had really young kids, and so it's like we're not going to berate ourselves for doing anything too full on. It's just about getting together, sharing life, sharing problems, you know, and encouraging one another.
Mm. Yeah, nice.
You know, as life gets busier, we kind of got to work harder to keep connected and doing it. So it's like it might not be every week. It might be once a month. It might be once every 2 months. You know, but
when you can.
But it always happens.
Yeah, and you know, anytime you need anything,
if you need them, you can reach out.
Oh, I mean, there's always a WhatsApp group going. With,
got a WhatsApp.
Light ribbing, you know, I mean, just throughout the week. So, yeah, that's been a super – I mean, we felt connected from day dot.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why it felt like the 10 years have gone so quickly. Not quite 10 years, I should say.
Yeah.
But, we've an amazing, amazing group of, like, supportive people.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
And so if anyone's listening in and they wanted to find out about life groups or what happens? How does that work?
Well, ours was kind of rogue. We just a bunch of people that kind of start at the same time. So if I'd encourage you – find a friend, hold hands and make your own group. Like, you know, and then tell Matt Willis afterwards. Or like register it on GBC Links after. I think ours didn't get registered on GBC Links for about 6 years. But we're officially official now, like as of like COVID, you know, when we try to get our house in order a little bit. I don't know. Like we just start our own, you know, you find some people that you feel like-minded with. And, you know, I was actually talking with some people last Sunday, a lovely couple that kind of I'd seen around and I kind of felt really compelled. I had to chat with them. I'd seen them twice or three times and I had a conversation with them. And it's like it's hard to kind of go, hey, here's a group that's on. Do you want to go? It's like, oh, I don't know them. I don't know how. It's like, it's hard. I'd encourage you to put it out there and kind of form your own group. Find some people that you kind of, if you're all starting fresh together, you've all got the same kind of narrative and you've got the same thing going on. Like, you can all be new together. I think that's what, you know, it's awkward sometimes, maybe the reality of bringing one new person into an older group. They can. It's really good for getting connected, but it's also I'd encourage you to kind of start your own group as well.
Yeah.
But equally, talk to Maddie Willis or go to GBC Links and request. You know, we've had kind of both those situations and bringing people into our group that way as well.
Okay, fantastic. Cool.
Or just kind of wangle your way into a WhatsApp group somehow. I don't know. That's probably the absolute wrong thing to say. Matt's going to call me like, no, please don't tell them to call me.
But sometimes it does just happen organically, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would encourage
God's working on drawing certain people together and, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You go with it.
Yeah, yeah. There's heaps of like, I mean, just walking around church the last couple of months, there's heaps of lovely, friendly new faces as well around. Yeah, it's really encouraging. It's really cool.
It's good. Heaps of new people coming around, we've noticed. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, I love it. I love, actually on Sundays and I look for people who are new that I've maybe not met before.
You guys are amazing at that. You guys are so sort
of
good at it.
Someone who might be sort of standing on their own. And,
yeah, for sure.
You know, I was like, hey, you new?
Yeah, my natural impulse is to go and do that kind of thing. But when you have kids running around or you're like, I don't know, it's actually a real challenge, you know, with people that have been in the church longer time to have you've got your group and like you feel, I only ever see them once every couple of weeks. I need to that's just being real, you know what I mean? It's so hard to kind of spread yourself really thin. And some like I don't really have a problem with kind of spreading myself thin because I'm like extroverted, it gives me energy. But then, you know, some people like that's a real taxing thing to do. And I understand that completely. But, you know, it's that real balance of kind of, you feel like you haven't seen the people that you've spent, you're building a life of faith with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but it's so important for people to feel connected and welcome and, encourage you to, maybe it's 1 week on, 1 week off. You know what I mean? Like you've got to give yourself like 20 minutes of like, of others' time and then you can go and sit back or like, I don't know, vice versa, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys make your own decisions.
I think it's great and, you know, most people are always up for a chat and very friendly. Everyone's very friendly and approachable here at Guardian Baptist Church. So.
For sure. So who has been the most significant person in supporting you in your Christian walk? Family, friends, pastor, something like that?
Yeah, I've had some pretty significant people like in times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they've come and gone. Like, I remember, my youth pastor growing up was super influential. Like, you know, like, you're leading with them and you kind of do a youth group with them or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to that those couple of years when you're kind of not doing anything with your life. You're kind of maybe studying but not really doing any work, and you're just kind of hanging out at youth pastors, swimming in this pool and watching cricket or just like really building just deep connections. Then you're kind of doing Bible study two or three nights a week. And you, like those so my youth pastor in high school was, really formative, really consistent, gave me really great advice that I still live to, like really practical stuff for a young kid.
Yeah, good.
And obviously, you know, my dad is very, you know, he's a minister, and our dinner tables and our family dinner tables are kind of wind their way from politics to religion to, you know, what's happening with the church. And it's like a very kind of robust, shall we say, discussions around the dinner table. So my dad's always there that if I have some confusion around something, I'm like, hey, Dad, what's this Calvinist thing? Like, or like, I don't, where do you stand on that? Like, it's like, if I'm unsure of my own opinion and you can read and, you know, sometimes the Bible's so confusing, it doesn't help you make an opinion at all.
Yeah.
You have to kind of bounce off with someone else. And so my dad is always a really considered, educated kind of person I can always turn to.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
There's something really special too about having mentors or older Christians around you, because the wisdom and the experience that they have.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just because they're further ahead, you know, and they've experienced things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so much richer.
Yeah. It really, and that experience of age and time and just lived experience, they've been there, they can go, oh, this one time I was doing this, and that's how I did it, you know what I mean, or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
100%.
I think you can share, you know, pass on what you've learned from them as well. Like you can sort of pay it forward to the younger generation or even someone up here, like some of your age as well.
Yeah.
You learn something from the mentor and you're like, oh, well, and you can pass it on. So, you know, because you know it's sound.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's trustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I remember getting some advice from my youth pastor when I was younger, and he kind of said, like, you know, just being a young dude, it's like, he's like, whatever you put in your life – when you get older, you're going to have to get rid of that baggage. So be really careful when as a young dude, what the kind of inputs you put
that's
into your
advice.
Life.
That's good advice.
And then, because you're going to have to deal with that at some point.
Yeah.
Whatever and you live in, you're going to have to get rid of other people as well. Just the kind of the inputs in your life are going to be the outputs, you know what I mean? From in terms of kind of your behaviors and your, you know, whether you're kind of, edifying or all those things, you know what I mean? And I've just found it so true in my life. And I've passed that information on. That's just one little nugget that kind of popped up.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a really good piece of advice.
Yeah. it's really rung true for me. And I'm sure that was a lived experience for him.
Yeah, to
pass that on. He might have been told from his uncle or something, who knows.
That's great.
So if I was to say, what's your take on discipleship? Well, you know, what does discipleship mean to you and how do you live that out in your life?
I mean, for me, discipleship with the idea of becoming more and more like Jesus, like a disciple of Jesus, you know what I mean? So that's, I mean, so many different facets of your life. And so it's a process, it's a long-term thing, and it's all the bits, it's all the little bits and pieces you do throughout your day or your Christian walk, I should say, that help you become more like Jesus. And so that may mean, you know, your prayer life of whether it's regular or irregular, but, you know, your prayer life, it's the kind of working towards what kind of conversations you have with your friends and your Christian friends. It's about how confident you are to speak about your faith when you're at work or you're amongst new people. It's reading. It's like the discipline of reading, which is really hard sometimes.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, for sure. It's really,
You can listen to the Bible now too.
Yeah, randomly, I'm not a podcaster, which is ironic because I'm on a podcast.
And like, here you are on a podcast.
I'm hoping this actually...
The irony is not lost on him.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, like I have Jess doing like the big three in my group, and it's I have to really struggle to go, okay, I've got to do that. I'm a music person, like whatever, you know what I mean? My mind wanders if it's not like reading. I'm a paper in hand book reader.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
All different mediums for different people. Yes. We all digest things in different ways.
I like the catharsis of unzipping my Bible and there and feeling
I'm still old school too. If I'm going to do a book or something like that, I need the book.
I
want to feel the pages. Yes. I want to smell the musk of the book.
Yes. Like, have your little kind of ribbon that you can fold and just the right way.
Highlight the little bits you want.
I'm different to you guys. I'm like audio all the way. I'm like listen to the Bible, listen to audiobooks all the way, like all the different famous books I'll listen to instead of reading them. I'm a lunatic.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably the majority now. We're the majority.
We're the old school.
Yeah. We're the old dinosaurs. I've got actually my mate Sam Hudson, who goes to GBC, but I grew up with him.
Yeah,
he was in our old life group.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And he... And when they're around, the going around,
they're going around New Zealand. I was going to say around Australia.
Somewhere in Northern Territory.
My bad.
And he would listen to podcasts on double speed.
Wow.
Yes, he had to catch up. At one point in his life, he had a really early wake up time. His mum would just wake him up at 4 o'clock. He's like, "Oh, I can just do a podcast." Like, if you listen to it twice, you'll definitely get more out of it. So he's listening to it on double, but listen to it twice to get all the good stuff out.
Yeah, right.
That is maniacal to me. I
know people that listen at 1.5 times. I just listen at normal time because I just like to enjoy it.
Anyway, he said just takes out all the pauses. Yeah. You know, like, he's just like the most organized, amazing dude. He's, I don't know what I'd do with that Sam in my life. Yeah. He's just so the opposite of me, but so good.
He's a great guy.
He's such a legend.
Yeah, beautiful family.
I didn't know that you guys were in life group with him. Super great. Actually, to be fair, I didn't know he was doing a life group. Anyway, great.
It was just for a while before they started traveling. We were so blessed to meet them and get to know them.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a real ministry heart. And, you know, he works in that space. Anyway.
Yeah. So here we are.
We're at the question.
At the question.
The question.
The question.
Have we got another 50 minutes?
Mic drop. Boom.
So, Lincoln, can you share with us a significant time in your life or a story where you saw God at work in your life?
Yeah. I mean, when you kind of talked about this kind of think about something you might want to say, I had a couple that jumped to mind, but one was actually really interesting and quite recent, which was really lovely. And it happened during, I'm trying to remember on the way over actually. I think it was second lockdown.
Okay.
And so I work in advertising, and so I may have met one other Christian in my 10 years,
mm-hmm.
maybe. Mm. A couple maybe. And anyway, so you meet all sorts of interesting people and all sorts of strange, funny cats, and they're all, you know, it's a wild place to work. I'm kind of like, I feel like maybe that I need to be there as the only one. It's like ministering to them, and everyone knows all my close friends anyway. Well, not my close, anyone that I'm pretty open about being a Christian in advertising.
Yeah, sure.
And it's, you know, it's hard to kind of
to be a rogue or be one only.
And or equally not go on with what, you know, you see there and just be part of the world and, you know, about the fine balancing act of,
I can see with your personality how you would fit in though. Like, yeah, I can see that you fit into that kind of groove, but with the Christian sort of slant.
Yeah, 100%. It's like everything's like, yeah, cool, let's do it, but like, no, I'm not going to do that. it's pretty wild. It's a party atmosphere, and that's I love the team and the social aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm trying to. It's a interesting story. It's something really great that happened, but it was during lockdown, and I was at home. First lockdown, it was an interesting kind of experience. I'm so like socially minded and people focused, and I help, you know, run teams and stuff, so it's really hard getting that culture side of my role.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at home and I was kind of wigging out and kind of having some anxiousness, and I was really learning curve for my own mind like I realized how much when I'm at work, I'm at work, and then I'd come on the train home and I'd take my work backpack off.
Yep.
And I'd come home and then I'd put my home backpack on. I had, you know, two separate backpacks, heavy loads, but carried separately.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas during COVID, I'm home and I'm carrying my work backpack and I'm carrying my family backpack. And I didn't have a chance to take them off, and I'm carrying both at the same time. So I kind of my body had a reaction, was like, I was getting like psoriasis. It was like really strange, and it's not, never experienced anything like that. So that was first lockdown. So I kind of, you know, whatever. And I was in the second lockdown I'd started doing some working out, and just, you know, people like, you know, if you're having anxiety, you know, you've got to get away from the computer, you've got to do some exercise, you've got to eat right, you've got to sleep. No, just like the basic things for general good mental health.
Put some structure in.
And so I was doing a workout and I was really tired, but I was still like, from memory, like this workout hadn't really kind of, hadn't solved anything for me. Yeah. I was still like, oh, I was a bit down, I was a bit agitated or whatever. I'm like, and I think we'd tried to start, my wife and I have a coffee every morning. I really enjoy coffee, make a good espresso. We sit on the couch and the kids aren't allowed to come on the couch. It's like, no, it's coffee time. We've got 10 minutes just to start the day. And we're like, oh, that's a really good, that's a discipline and we enjoy it. And so like maybe we're trying to attach some other disciplines, some reading disciplines. So we're like, let's just like whenever we're having our coffee, just we'll have a read at the same time, like of the Bible, I mean, not just a novel. So that was something we started to do. So it was really cool. So,
yeah, cool.
But I was still kind of like, oh man, still feeling like what's going on. I just had this random, like I just finished a workout and I was agitated. And I think I just finished a push-up or something. And I was like lying down and I had one of those moments when you kind of like, why is like my faith not like it was when I was a teenager, you know, with Doug McFarlane? Why am I weeping? You know, like, why? Like, and it's a mix. I very much feel much more alive in my faith when I'm serving, when I'm doing things, you know, like when I'm on the worship team, I feel really connected. I feel really like I'm doing business with God through actions. And I've just been going, why is it that young people get all the fire and older people just kind of, it turns into like a smoldering coal? You know what I mean? I was really kind of agitated and I didn't pray that necessarily. I just was like a bit angry with God, I think, at the start. Anyway, finished up, did the rest of my day of work, went in, and that was at dinner. And then randomly in the afternoon, I was on Facebook and a friend that I used to work with had randomly just said, hey, anyone know a good accountant? And I'm like, yeah, here's a person I use. He kind of does a lot of advertising people's accountancy. And this girl's great. She worked in advertising with me. She was really like big, kind of classic advertising personality, bright, vivacious, kind of, you know, real big personality type. And, you know, we got along really well. And there was always a sense that maybe she was quite, you know, there was something a bit deeper going on, that she maybe wasn't always happy with every situation, or, you know, there was something going on. It was like, anyway, and so I just gave her this name of the accountant. Then, like, during dinner, she gave me a text and she's like, hey, like, thanks so much for the recommendation. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no problems. Like, that's fine. She's like, hey, I'm so glad you made contact. I've been thinking about you for like heaps.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, random old work colleague. Not random old work colleague. That sounds a horrible thing to say, but, you know, like, hadn't kept in contact. We'd stopped working with each other and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I wanted to say really, like, sorry just for giving you heaps of crap about the Jesus stuff. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I didn't really, like, you know. Like, wasn't whatever. She might have, like, laughed. I think she was kind of like, oh, all that Jeebus stuff. You called Jesus Jeebus. I just took it with a grain. Like, whatever, it's fine. To be honest, I was kind of like, I kind of like being persecuted for, like, it makes you know that you're being seen as a Christian, you know.
Yeah, right.
They would laugh at you and think you're silly. And that's, like, all part and parcel. It's kind of like, yeah, that's kind of how it's supposed to be, I think, if you're a bit of an alien. Anyway, she was like, I'm like, oh, like, don't worry. I'm the first person to regret. She was kind of like saying, like, I feel really bad how much kind of shade I threw at you for that. And I was like, oh, I always thought it was tongue in cheek. Maybe you meant it, but I don't know. And, you know, you really did think I was an idiot. But I'm like, oh, it's so fine. I completely understand. I know what it's like to feel regret about saying something silly. Again, being an oversharer, lying in bed at night, going, why did you say that? That was just didn't need to be said. And she's like, it's because I understand. I've met Jesus.
Oh,
and I was like,
wow.
Whoa, I just got shivers now. I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
Gosh.
And I was like, okay, what? She's like, we kind of texting back and forward about what happened.
Yeah.
She's like, can I give you a call? I'm like, yeah, of course. Give me a call. And she gets on and they're like, that really, like, her voice is really kind of distinctive. I just knew I hadn't spoken to her in years, but I knew it was, so it was really lovely, and had this really long conversation about how it came about. So essentially it was proper Damascus Road kind of stuff. Like, she lives in eastern suburbs, and she walked by a community bookstore, and it was like she was just like leafing through the books during COVID. She was like, oh, what's that one? She pulls out A Reason for Faith.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, she reads it back.
Who's that by? Oh, it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
A Reason for Faith, okay.
It's not Tim Keller.
That's cool. Doesn't matter.
It's not Tim Keller.
A good read, though.
A good read.
But, yeah, and it's kind of like she reads it back. She's like, it's all the seven big problems that people have. Maybe it wasn't even a reason for faith. Maybe that's the one I've read, but whatever. It was a book about, like, the seven big reasons. I think it's a reason for faith. Mm. Maybe it is Tim Keller. Maybe I should just back myself.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to go back and look it up, and then I'll let you know after. Then I can come back and do a reading. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so she starts reading the back. She's like, "What's this about?" And then it's like the seven big reasons, like, because why would God create a world with evil in it? Why would God? How does God and science mix or whatever? I can't remember what all the big things are at the moment. And she's like, "Oh yuck!" She like chucks it back in the thing, and she's like, "Oh, what the." To Jeeves' book. and she walks off and then she says, oh, then I went back and I walked off and then I just thought, I don't know what it was. It was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It was God. And she's like, I just had to go back and pick up that book again.
Wow.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
And so she picked it up and she's like reading. She's like, I'm going to read this book because it's going to confirm all my beliefs on why faith is stupid. Like, it's like, yeah, like, why the evil in the world? Like, what, you know, what, all the big things yep. that people have a problem with. Mm. She's like, so then I went home and read it and thinking it was going to confirm all my beliefs. And then it actually just addressed all my things that I'd had a problem with. And so she's like, well, okay, I have to do something about it. So she literally just walked into the next church on her street. And she said they were incredible. They were amazing. Like, she said, I walked in and, she said, I'd never felt such non-judgmental love and support and acceptance. And she's like, awesome. It was interesting because we worked in advertising together. And she's like, I just felt like I'd live my whole life. As I said, she's been this really bright, bombastic kind of personality, always kind of making the jokes and always kind of trying to act up and kind of be kind of the fun one and the party animal or whatever.
There was just something missing.
And she's like, I just realized I thought that was the projection of that people wanted me to see, that like that, you know what I mean? And then I went to church and I could just be me and it's like I just met my Lord and Savior and he saw me. And it was like, and she's like, yeah, I got into a group and then COVID kind of came again. And so I was talking to her in the second lockdown from memory. And she's like, I just never felt such love and acceptance, truly loved.
Gosh, and like this has been tears to my eyes. This is amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. Yeah. Like, and so, yeah, and I'm just trying to think now kind of, yeah, so she got into a life because she said, I literally didn't speak to anyone for 6 weeks. I just cried for 6 weeks, just feeling
just
all these layers.
With God.
Stripping away of, again, it's been quite a little while since this happened, so like some of the smaller details are a little bit hazy, but
that's okay.
And so I was talking it through with her, and she was just like, it was incredible. And she's like, I couldn't tell you how many of these miracle stories have happened. I mean, she's got all her own things going on. I won't go into it. That's her business. But
at one
point she had some really heavy stuff going on, and she was sitting out looking at the ocean, and she's like really heartbroken about something, and she just said to God, and she was had her eyes closed. She's like, if you're hearing me, like, she wasn't saying, oh, make something happen. She's like, if you can hear me, like, if you're hearing my tears and my cries, I want, can you show me a whale?
Yeah.
She literally opened her eyes and a whale breaches in front of her.
Yeah.
And it's just like these, and I'm like, these are these freaky stories that you kind of hear as a teenager, like that people like are super in tune and super like emotionally available for things like this to happen. Again, like, this is just the story that happened. I'm not like trying to over spiritualize it. She's like, this is just what happened. This is what happened in my mind. The listeners can make what you want of that. You know what I mean?
I believe that was just
the spirit working in, or like just that was her connecting with God. Anyway, so we had this conversation. I'm like, this is amazing. This is so great. And I started then thinking about that. That was that morning that I had this kind of like utterance with the Lord in the morning. And, you know, like, I can't remember where the passage is, what it's from. It's around, like, the Spirit utters things that you don't even know you're praying.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? When I said before about, like, I was frustrated of why I didn't have that flame of, like, excitement or, like, what, nothing big ever happens anymore. Like, you know, and, you know, you're wrestling with why don't I see more people coming to know Jesus, you know? Like, I don't know, but it's a narrow path and not many people make it, and it's a wide is the other path, you know? So that's kind of written, but still you kind of selfishly maybe you want to see more people. You want to see the spirit moving. And so I was like, I was like, mate, you don't know how much this means to me in this moment, like how much your story is so, I'm like, such a powerful thing for me. And it was like, I didn't ever expect that to.
Yeah.
It made sense of that prayer I prayed in the morning. It wasn't even a prayer. It was just an angry
thing.
Why? Like, why has it got to be this way? Like, why don't you show yourself? Like, come on, big guy, what's going on? Like,
God's like, you wait till this afternoon.
Yeah. I was like, I've got something to show you, mate.
I've
never had anything so, like, dramatic.
And
it just made all that prayer that I didn't know that what that prayer was, even though I started with it, this story, I didn't know what that prayer was in that morning. I'm like, that's what I prayed this morning. That's what the Spirit prayed this morning.
Yeah.
I think. I think. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say it was, you know, like, whatever. You know, it is what it is. And so that was just this epic thing that happened.
Yeah.
And like, even just on Sunday, we were doing the survey and it was like, do you know anyone that's become a Christian? I'm like,
yep.
Yes, yes. Like that was, it was so, and it's been an encouragement ever since.
Yeah.
So I've spoken with her quite a few times since then. Well, a few times since then, you know, it's like it's, checked in on her and, you know, she's like, it's hard. COVID made it hard that she couldn't go to life groups and stuff, whatever. I didn't want the story necessarily to be about her, but it's about the work that God is doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
It's great.
And how God connects us, you know, we're all woven into God's big plan, and just love it when God intersects you with somebody else, and you just, you didn't even know God was working there until, you know, they get to share that with you, and it encourages you too. Like it just spurs you on, right?
As angels were rejoicing, you know, that's the thing. It's the most exciting thing you can hear.
Yeah, someone coming to faith. You know what I mean? Oh, it's amazing.
And because you don't, especially where we are. In Sydney, no one needs God. You know what I mean? It's like no one needs him. I mean, everyone needs him.
Mm.
No one thinks they need him. You know what I mean? It was, it was incredible. And I have this thing years back now. I started like going, oh, you know that thing was that you pray for the people you think would make good Christians? You have your friend, you're like, I'd love them to know Jesus. And you start praying for the ones that kind of, but then I'm like, oh, no, that's like that's making God's power too small. And so I changed my tact praying for friends at work. I'm like, I prayed for the people I never, ever thought would become Christians. I'm like, I didn't pray for the people I thought might become Christians. I'm like, whatever, if that happens, it happens. But I'm like, I was like, oh, no, I think God's got bigger plans for this. And so it was really interesting and not, this is not saying anything about my friend, but like she would have been up there and people are like, you know, she's ribbing me about Jesus. She's laughing at me and she's apologizing for it. So that's the last person you'd ever think to become a Christian.
Yeah, right.
And I could just tell the way she was speaking to me, like her language. I'm like, are these the words coming out of your mouth? Like these are not your words that you would ever, like she had a spirit of understanding given to her.
She did.
You know, like it was,
yeah.
That's what it, as far as I could witness, that's what it was. It was, like her words were different. Like the way she spoke, the language. Yeah.
Well, you've known, you've worked with it for years. Yeah. You would know the change. You could see it or hear it in her voice.
Yeah, she spoke like people I'd speak to at church. Yeah. Her faith. It was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And powerful and beautiful.
Amazing. And just to know that, you know, she's got that fulfillment there now. She's found what that missing thing was.
Yeah. There's like, she just felt seen and known and loved.
Mm.
Yeah, that was what she kind of said. Yeah. And she's like, I know him. She kind of said, I've met him, I think she said, something like that.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, I mean, and to be fair, I called her a couple of months after that, you know, just and she's like, yeah, it's hard. It's still really hard. Like, I've still got to, I've got to connect with my life group, my Bible study or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't instantly made her life better, by no means. But like, she's like, she's like, I can be myself before my creator is what she said.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Epic. So beautiful. Yeah.
Powerful. Very powerful story. And just how God also gave you that encouragement.
And it's so interesting. Those kind of things can spur you on for so long, you know. And then you talk about it again, you know, a year later and it's like, oh, you feel those feelings again and you realize how faithful God is.
Yeah. And you never know where God's working. You just need to step forward every time. And, you know, it's never through our own strength. It's always through him.
Yeah.
But all we need to do is just that step forward or represent him in a certain place or conversation.
And get angry with him. Like you can give him your real emotions. You know what I mean?
Get like, real. Just like
if anyone
God,
can.
God, do something.
Yeah.
fully. Shake like, your fists or whatever. Like, God can take it.
If anyone can take your anger, God can. You can throw your hurt at him. And that's because that's when you're giving yourself, you're not kind of giving him your you're false not being pretenses reserved. Or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not holding
back.
Well,
even Jesus, you know, you read about where he had righteous anger about what was happening in the temples and turned tables and called out the injustice. Yeah. And, you know, like, there's something to be said about having those real raw emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in those times where it's justified.
I was reading that just this morning. Like, where was it? I mean, Jesus is just kind of locking in with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're kind of hitting him with like, okay, yeah, what's the best, what's the most important kind of commandment? And he's like, well, it's love your God, then love your neighbor. Mm. But then he goes on to the seven woes of, he's like, you know, like your outside of your cup is filthy, but you're cleaning the outside of your cup, but your inside is filthy. Like, and just, he's so angry. He's like, what are you doing? You're like, anyway, it was just, that he got angry. You know, he's like, you're worrying about tithing your spices and stuff, but what about mercy and what about love? You know what I mean? You've forgotten these important things. Anyway,
So how has that changed your life? How has this changed your life?
It's an interesting thing. I think it gave me a real shot of just like spiritual adrenaline. I don't know. You know, like it made me feel young again, and it made me kind of remember the power of God. And so I think it's like it's so easy as someone middle-aged. Now to be like,
don't worry, we're there too.
To go like to get really like laissez-faire about it all. You know what I mean? That was just such a gift, and just to know that he's faithful and he's doing that. So it was great. It just kind of felt like a young Christian again, in a weird way, which is a good and a bad thing. You know what I mean? You want that age and that wisdom we were talking about before. And those experiences that help you kind of move on. But it was, and I think it's so interesting just to be reinforced with what God's plan is and what he's doing. And I don't know, is that a question?
A glimpse behind the curtain.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Okay. Final question. How are you following Jesus? Lincoln, how is Lincoln following Jesus?
Today. Tomorrow?
Yeah, today. going forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's that, I'm in that busy phase of life. It's kind of keeping at it. I think, you know, something I've instituted in the last kind of 18 months is like I have all these other worldly disciplines that are things that I like to do and I'm happy to do regularly, but it's like those disciplines of is just really locking into those and trying to hijack some other habits to turn into spiritual disciplines. So I'm trying to keep up with my reading, keep up with my praying, you know, that kind of stuff is just, it's a really low hanging fruit kind of stuff, I think. And honestly, continually meeting up, just last night we had our life group is kind of, again, it's some dads with young kids and we don't get together all the time, but it's just two of us got together last night and we still just doing it and getting it and you kind of, because if you don't do it, you're never going to, like it's so easy for that kind of conversation to fall off your lips just about, you know, kind of tackling a passage in the Bible that you just may have read or, I just never fail to understand or see when you actually go and you sit down, you actually make the time. There's something connects later on in the day or like it encourages you to have a conversation and think about something different. And just assessing your faith regularly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, so it's like that consistency that, you know, you've got to stick at it and you can go through dry patches, but, you know, you're going to, if you're committing to these things and it's like God's going to give those revealing moments to you. And it's not because of what you're doing by committing to it, obviously, but there is kind of some causality or cause and effect there a little bit. You know, you're like, you read the word, powerful stuff's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe not straight away. It might take 6 months. It might take 3 years. I don't know, whatever it is, but that's probably where I'm at the moment is kind of, enjoying those moments when you see those little moments of small revelation or large revelation of what God's doing is sticking at and hanging on to those things and just enjoying them when they come and praising praising God for them and sharing them and telling other people about them, I suppose.
Sharing the love, sharing the stories and what's happened in your life and stories you've heard from others. And it's good.
Yeah, really wise words and really encouraging. And thank you so much for tonight. I just feel so – what you've shared has just been such an encouragement to me. And, you know, I think anybody who's listening in will be feeling the same. So thank you so much.
Praise God for what he's doing in people's lives, huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What would we do without him?
We just get to be there to witness it, you know what I mean? It's like all we have to do is just kind of show up and see what happens, you know what I mean? And that's the thing. It's a show for us in one way, you know what I mean?
We're a page in his book.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, like
– yeah.
It's when you surrender yourself to that and just go, cool, like you do what you do. I'm just going to try and be here for it and be listening and stuff, I suppose.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, thanks so much for coming
on. Oh, absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's been a blast. Had a good time.
Sorry for my long-winded stories.
I love it. I love a good story.
I've been told I have to tell three stories to tell one story. You know, so anyway.
We might have to get you back for another session.
Well, I'll have to lock in and make sure that I'm witnessing more of God's actions. Anyway,
we'll see you around GBC, Lincoln.
100% you will. See you, thanks, bro. Guys.
Thanks for listening to the We Are the Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymebe Baptist Church, please check out the Guymebe Baptist Church website at guymebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.